Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After King Ahab of Israel had stolen Naboth's vineyard for his palace garden, God's prophet Elijah met Ahab there and pronounced God's punishment on him, his wife Jezebel, and their family. Despite being Israel's most evil king, Ahab humbled himself before the Lord at that point, and so his punishment was delayed. In the southern kingdom of Judah, King Asa's son Jehoshaphat had become king in the fourth year of King Ahab's reign in the northern kingdom of Israel. Jehoshaphat was a good king, who worshipped the Lord wholeheartedly and destroyed the worship of idols throughout the land of Judah. He also stopped the warfare between Israel and Judah from continuing. As a result, God blessed Jehoshaphat and the people honored him. He organized his army well, and his enemies round Judah were afraid to attack him. Jehoshaphat sent a team of his officials with 9 Levites and 2 priests with the book of God's law throughout the land to teach the people from it. He himself traveled throughout Judah and urged the people to follow the Lord. He also encouraged the judges he appointed in each district and in Jerusalem to honor the Lord by judging fairly. But Jehoshaphat did some things which almost brought the Davidic dynasty to an end as well. After all the teaching of his own people to love and serve the Lord, Jehoshaphat allowed his crown prince son to marry a daughter of wicked Ahab and Jezebel. This alliance with the king of Israel undid much of the good work Jehoshaphat had done over the years, for Athaliah, much like her mother Jezebel, was a Baal worshipper. Parents are to teach their children right from wrong, provide for them, and lay a godly foundation in their lives. Most importantly, parents are to lead their children to Jesus Christ and help them develop a biblical worldview for themselves. Parents are to lovingly teach the Word of God while they live by the example and truths and commands within it. They are to help their children to see things as God sees things whenever the right opportunity avails. In 1 Kings chapter 22, Jehoshaphat went to visit Ahab. Ahab cornered him and pressured him into putting the Judean army alongside Ahab's Israelite army for going out on a dangerous mission to retake the city of Israel that the Syrians had captured quite some time beforehand.
Of course I shall help you regain Ramoth, Ahab. By the terms of our alliance and the marriage of your daughter to my son, are not my people your people, my chariots your chariots, and my horses your horses?
Oh, you're a real friend and compatriot, Jehoshaphat. I shall order my general to assemble the army at once. You will do the same.
Yes, Ahab, as soon as... Well, I am a firm believer, as you know, in following the will of God. You have here in Israel prophets of God. Why not seek their advice? If they approve of the undertaking, then I shall order my general to assemble my army.
Well, it shall be done. Scribe, gather together the 400 prophets and have them appear before us today at the city gate. You are prophets of the God of Israel.
We are, Your Majesty.
His Majesty, King of Judah, and I myself desire to know God's will in the matter of regaining Ramoth. Shall we go to battle against Ramoth, or shall we not go?
Go up, O King, for the Lord shall deliver it into thine hand.
You are a prophet of the true God?
We are prophets, Your Majesty.
Ahab, is there not at least one more prophet of God that we might inquire of? Somehow these 400 don't seem
well,
quite...
Well, there is one man, but I doubt if we want to seek his advice. He doesn't respect me. He speaks nothing but evil against me, and I don't like him.
Let not the king of Israel be angry if I insist that we consult this man.
Scribe, go and fetch Micaiah, son of Imlah, immediately.
You are Micaiah, son of Imlah.
I am.
You are to go at once to the city gates where sit Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and Ahab, king of Israel, awaiting your advice concerning war against Syria. 400 prophets have already unanimously advised the king to go. May I suggest that you do likewise?
Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth to battle, or shall we forbear?
Have not 400 prophets already advised their majesties to go?
How many times have I told you to tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord God of Israel?
If thou go and fight for Ramoth, O king, the people of Israel shall be scattered upon the hills as sheep without a shepherd, and thou shalt surely be killed.
You see, Jehoshaphat, I told you he would say nothing but evil.
It is the words of those 400 prophets that speak evil of the king. I speak as inspired by the voice of God.
Scribe, see that this prophet is put into prison and afflicted until I return from Ramoth in victory and peace.
If thou return from Ramoth at all, O king, then hath the Lord not spoken through me. Hearken, ye king of Israel, and listen to the voice
of... Take him away! Oh! Well, my friend Jehoshaphat, what say you? Go we against Ramoth, or go we not?
I have already given my word. We shall go.
Ahab had already made an alliance between himself and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, for 3 years. Ahab now wanted to get back to the city of Ramoth-Gilead, which had been captured by Ben-Hadad's father. Although it had been promised to be returned, it hadn't been. Jehoshaphat was requested by Ahab to go into battle in his royal robes, while he himself hid in a soldier's uniform to not draw attention to himself. Jehoshaphat couldn't have failed to see that Ahab had no real friendship with him and was indifferent to the preservation of Jehoshaphat's life. But all Ahab's precautions to save himself were to no avail. While in battle, he was badly wounded and died at sunset, while Jehoshaphat, despite his greater exposure to danger, survived unharmed. When Jehoshaphat returned home to Jerusalem, a prophet called Jehu, the son of Hanani, rebuked Jehoshaphat for helping those who hated the Lord and did what was evil. King Ahab of Israel was succeeded by his son Ahaziah, an ungodly king who ruled for only 2 years. Jehoshaphat decided to build a fleet of ships for the purpose of bringing gold back from overseas, just as King Solomon had done. However, because Jehoshaphat had made a new alliance with Ahaziah of Israel, the Lord was displeased with him and caused all the ships to be destroyed. Even Jehoshaphat's refusal to let Ahaziah's men sail on his ships wasn't enough to save his fleet. What can we learn from the lives and actions of these kings of Judah and Israel? We can't cease to be amazed at how merciful God was to Ahab. Although a good army leader, Ahab was dominated by his wicked wife Jezebel for all his reign. Although Ahab had seen on Mount Carmel the convincing display of God's power in burning up the drenched offering set up by Elijah, Ahab slipped back into worshipping idols and doing so more wickedly in the sight of the Lord. We can rely totally on God's prophecies and predictions. The predictions for Ahab by both the prophets of Micaiah and Elijah came to pass. Jezebel lived on for nearly another 10 years before Elijah's prediction of her death came true. With short-term predictions from the Lord like this always coming true, why do people have trouble believing that those predictions from God's prophets made over 2,500 years ago will also come to pass? God has always known the end of the world from the beginning of time, and that's why he gave us these prophecies for us to put our confidence in him. In this chapter 22 of 1 Kings, there's a warning for us not to make alliances with people who don't worship the one true God. Jehoshaphat made this mistake a number of times in his rule of Judah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 it says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? Can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil?" Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, became king after his death. Under the influence of his evil Baal-worshipping wife, Athaliah, Jehoram killed his brothers and some of his other officials. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and built heathen places of worship, leading the people of Judah astray from the Lord their God. Elijah sent Jehoram a letter, which is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. It spoke of God's judgment against King Jehoram, who only reigned for 8 years. Enemies from around Judah came and took away from Jehoram's palace all his possessions, his sons, and his wives. Only his youngest son was left to remain with him. We have to ask ourselves, would things have turned out differently for Jehoram if he'd married some godly woman of Judah instead of the wicked princess Athaliah of Israel? How much responsibility should Jehoshaphat bear for the failure of Jehoram to follow in his footsteps? We can ask further, how much do we control our own destiny? When must we take responsibility for our own shortcomings and failures and stop blaming our mistakes on our parents? The choices we make in life start us out on a road that takes us away from where the Lord would have us walk. Children are to be cared for, supported, trained, and brought up in the ways of the Lord. For parents, teaching their children God's instructions and loving nature is a daily task. Seeking the Lord's face is a lifestyle of learning how to love and pray for one another in spite of the troubles and difficulties that come along. Another great lesson that comes out of this passage is that death comes quickly and unexpectedly to some people. While Jehoshaphat lived to the age of 60, his son Jehoram only lived to 40, while his grandson, Ahaziah of Judah, lived to only 23. Death came into the world as a result of Adam and Eve's sin of disobedience in the Garden of Eden, and was a merciful judgment of God. Many people fear death and think of it as evil, but just consider the alternative, living forever with all the sins we've ever committed held against us and without any remedy from God to ever fix the situation. God, in his mercy, provided a way of escape for all those who are born into sin on the earth and want to be saved from their sinful natures and the consequences of being sinners. The Bible says it's not right to think that everyone goes to heaven in the next life. At some funeral services, the mourners are told that the dead person who never had anything to do with Christ while living on earth is now in heaven. This simply isn't true, for the Bible is clear that the wages of any sin is death and eternal destruction in the next life. So how can anyone plan ahead to be with God in heaven after death here on earth? Again, Jesus' message was that it's only those who have admitted their sin, believed in God's provision of salvation through himself, God's sinless Son, and declared to the world that they belong to him. This isn't just a one-time declaration, but a way of life lived by doing everything, both in public and alone, to the glory of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit living in them. Anything done by human effort to win God's approval and get to heaven is unacceptable to God and will never count toward a ticket into heaven. Just who is Jesus Christ that he should hold the key to heaven? In John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Christ is the Creator, not a created person. And in chapter 14, it says, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Don't be deceived by any other teaching about getting into heaven, for it will only be lies. Jesus is God, and eternal life comes only through faith in him and by the new life that the Holy Spirit implants into a forgiven person's soul. What do the scriptures say? The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Psalm 116, the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Whoever has the Son," that's Jesus, "has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life." Have you ever made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, call on him today. No one, not even the kings of Judah, could count on having tomorrow to do anything in saving themselves. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.